All right, time for a Tuesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. So many thoughts from that Wake Forest game that we have spilled some over into this Tuesday episode. Got a lot to get to. More on Sterling Gilbert's play calling, which always gets the fans riled up, I'm sure. And we'll get to any other leftover thoughts, plus look ahead to the Clemson line, which is already moving a little bit. That's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome on in. It is the Locked On Syracuse podcast, and we thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single morning. We were a little delayed yesterday because of my Vegas travels and everything, Ty, but we are should be all clear the rest of the week. So you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. It's totally free. Also, find us on YouTube, where you can watch all our podcasts now that are out there. We're trying to get some of the old interviews up as well, hopefully this week. So some of our good interviews, if you want to go back to those, watch them. They will be up there. Maybe the Cole Swider one up there soon. We've had some good ones here on the pod that I'm sure you guys could go back in the archives and find. And also today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Just visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So we had so many thoughts yesterday. This is what happens. Monday pods for us, yeah. We go long, and then we're like, crap, we didn't get in all our notes. Here we are on the Tuesday pod, and we were both kind of overlooking the overtime plays and basically just the play calling late from Sterling Gilbert. I think we have some thoughts on that. And we, I guess, sort of disagreed on Sterling Gilbert a little bit yesterday. I think we're maybe in somewhat of agreement as well. But there was some good and some really bad from Gilbert. And late in the game, I was a little suspect on a couple of the play calls late, and especially in the overtime as well.
Well, it gets back to kind of the analogy that I used at the end of the show yesterday. If you are out of gas on the side of a highway and you're given a tank of water and a tank of fuel, he's been taking the water and trying to fill up the car with it at times. I mean, you've got your fuel on one end, which is Garrett Schrader outside the pocket, hands-offs with Sean Tucker, play-action plays, all that stuff. And then you got your water, which is putting him in the pocket, giving the ball to Cooper Lutz, throwing the ball over the middle when nothing's there. That is what you're looking at right now with Sterling Gilbert. And the overtime play calling, I think, is a perfect example of that. He gave the ball to Tucker twice, and then in pivotal points in the drive, he turned Schrader into a pocket passer, which is something that he cannot do. And especially in an overtime period where you're working in a red zone situation effectively, this is a team that is very, very well equipped to handle red zone situations. And with Schrader, with Tucker, and especially with a Wake Forest defense that literally had zero clue who had the ball 75% of the time.
Right. So the only pass or pass play that was drawn up in overtime was the 3rd and 8. Which gets totally blown up, and that leads to the Garrett Schrader sack. And I guess before that, they couldn't even get the play call in time, which was another head-scratching moment where it's like, why are we so slow to get these plays in? Luckily, it was overtime, so timeouts don't really matter as much, and it didn't really cost us anything.
Yeah, timeouts effectively are just for that situation where you're trying to prevent delay of games.
Yeah, and look, it's still not good that in a pivotal play, we're having trouble getting to the line of scrimmage. Obviously, we touched on the two-point play yesterday, which was just downright unacceptable. But going through these plays in overtime, starts out, Schrader kind of fakes to Courtney Jackson on a sweep, keeps it up the middle for 4 yards. Then Schrader has a read option play that's totally blown up. He tries to go off the right and keep it. Quealy just kind of doesn't get to his block in time, and that leads to a 2-yard loss. Second,
probably the wrong read, too. He probably should have given it off.
It looked like that was the offensive line just not really doing a great job on that specific play.
The read option, it's always interesting with them because they don't know what's going to happen, right? It's all dependent on what do linebackers do, what do edge rushers do in that situation. So they kind of have zones to a degree, and that's why those plays, it's tough for me to really get upset with offensive line play on reads because that is such a quarterback-dependent play right there.
Yeah, and, you know, when he makes the read or is about to potentially hand it off there, it looked like, to me, Quealy just wasn't in position to make the block. But if Quealy does make that block, then he's probably got 15 yards on the right side there. So it's a tough position.
That's a big ask, though, for Anthony Quealy, because if I'm remembering correctly, he's going up against an edge rusher or a linebacker. Listen, asking wide receivers, especially smaller receivers like that, to make those sort of plays, I mean, sometimes you just look at your coach like, listen, man, like I tried. Like it's just not a good play design.
Which could come back to maybe you put Luke Benson in that spot versus Quayle.
Or how about this? How about this novel concept? How about Chris Elmore? How about like
literally? I'm sure he was.
Did you see
this,
by the way? Did you see this? I meant to bring this up with you yesterday. They ran the Patriots play that we've been talking about. They ran it on that 5-yard Schrader run. The quarterback draw up the middle. I think it was 3rd and 1 technically at the time, so they only needed the 1 yard. And I can't remember if they put Mang or Elmore in the backfield on the left hip of Schrader, snap it, let the fullback do some work, clear away, and then they got the 1 yard and they got plenty more and got into the end zone. Like, these plays work. We have told you guys about these plays for what, 3 weeks now, on how to use Garrett Schrader and how to use this team in the red zone. And they use it every once in a while, but I mean, sure, that's exactly the perfect short yardage play for this team. Anytime they're 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, those power success plays that you need, that play will be there every single time, especially if you use a guy like Chris Elmore.
Yeah. So anyway, finishing up, you go 2nd and 12 after that read option miscue there. They run Tucker right side on a zone play that nets 4 yards. And I guess that goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Like, second down didn't really work, but go back to Tucker. I'm totally cool with that because we want to pick up some yards. But the problem is when Syracuse has a 3rd and 8 right now, it is in the hands of Garrett Schrader, and we want him rolling out. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast. In this particular play, even if he was designed to roll out, I don't know if it would have made a difference because the offensive line was totally busted anyway, but it doesn't really matter. Make him roll out, because our best bet of getting a 3rd and 8 at this point is really Schrader scrambling and doing what he did, some Tebow, Dungy-like stuff to somehow make people miss and get first downs. And I know Schrader may have been hurt at that stage. It definitely seemed like he was a little hurt after that initial hit.
Yeah, he got tossed around a good amount in this game. Yeah.
And look, we're asking him to carry the football, 29 times in this game from a quarterback? He's out there every play. I just can't imagine that this is too sustainable. And that's why I worry about the amount that Tucker's getting. Our running back room is getting a little thin. I don't know the extent of Abdul Adams' injury, but I see Cooper Lutz fumble in this game. I'm not too pumped at the idea of just riding Schrader and Tucker for the rest of ACC play, because I do feel like Schrader's going to get hurt at some point. But I don't know, that particular play, the 3rd and 8, they definitely should be rolling out Schrader in that instance.
Right. It should be from the shoot too. Like, you know, they're bringing pressure. I'd have to go back and look at the play, see how many receivers, if they had tight end help on blocking as well. But I mean, 3rd and 8, pretty clear passing down there. I'd imagine they had 3 or 4 receivers. And like we've said, those 4 receiver sets, those 3 receiver sets, you don't have enough receivers that are good enough really to be out there on the field for those sort of plays, or an offensive line that's good enough to support some of these plays too. And this is the danger too, I think, with Schrader as the pocket passer as well, is that he looks one read, and then if that's not there, it's up the middle and go. And a lot of those plays sometimes end up as negative plays because he's tucking and running and he's only getting back to the line of scrimmage, or maybe losing a yard, sometimes gaining a yard. It's very little. And that's the limitations of him as a pocket passer right now. He doesn't feel comfortable. I don't think he's confident in that role either.
Yeah, I will say, watching back the game, I think they incorporated some new stuff in this game play calling wise, whether it was Courtney Jackson on some jet sweep type plays. More slants is what I noticed as well, which I like to see, because I think Schrader can make a slant pass, and that's probably just asking him to do what he maybe can do as a passer. He can't hit it all the time, it seems like, but they do need to roll him outside the pocket more. And I did really like the Sean Tucker touchdown play at the end of the game. I thought that was really cool. They basically sent everyone to the end zone, cleared it out. It seemed like it was pretty much designed for Schrader to buy some time, dump it down to Tucker. He caught that ball and had 15 yards right in front of him. No one hit him until like the 2 yard line. I thought that was a great play call.
It's really bad defense too. I mean, when you look at how Wake Forest kind of defended the whole thing, I mean, there's a playmaker right there. And if you give him a lot of room to run like that, he's going to make you pay.
No doubt. All right, we'll have some more leftover thoughts from the Syracuse loss to Wake Forest in just a second. But I want to remind college football fanatics, the Prize Picks is out there. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you guys will too. I was out in Vegas this weekend, did a little Prize Picks, hit big tie on the Sean Tucker over. It was like 103.5. It was free money there. Price Picks, I don't know why he set the line so low, but Sean Tucker overs right now are just the play all season long for Sean Tucker. But Price Picks is really cool because it is the college sports daily fantasy leader right now. And you basically just pick 2 to 5 players that you want, any over-unders that you see, just you versus the projected numbers. You can even mix sports, which is kind of fun. You get some NBA coming up, college basketball will be around the corner. It's going to be awesome when we can do maybe like Joe Girard over threes combined with Sean Tucker over rushing for that little window of crossover season. So don't wait and sign up for Prize Picks today. All of our new users get 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just use our promo code that is Locked On, all one word. Again, the promo code Locked On, all one word, 100% instant deposit match up to $100 over at Prize Picks, which is daily fantasy made easy.
This episode also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer? And they only can choose from the brands that their warehouse happens to carry. You've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So save time and money when you use Rock Auto. Why spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got a great reputation and the prices are reliably low for every customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution for all of your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, that's the important part. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out, rockauto.com.
All right, so some more thoughts on this loss and why Syracuse fell short in this game. Watching it back, special teams just continues to be a problem here. And yeah. I almost forgot about James Williams' shank.
I think Punter U is officially over. I mean, that was a nice little run they had going there. I think it's done. I mean, right. Oh my God. Some of those like 30-yard punts, 25-yard punts, and then the week before, Ian Hawkins with an 11-yard punt. I saw someone on Twitter say, oh, bring the walk-on out. It can't be any worse. Yeah, it can. It was worse last week when he had an 11-yard punt.
It doesn't matter who they're putting out there, unfortunately, right now. And it's Justin Lustig, of course, the former special teams coach. Maybe we overvalue coaching at times, but it does feel like Mike Schmidt has been great here at Syracuse at the offensive line position. I do want to shout him out. I feel like that's kind of going under the radar a little bit. Like, look at this game. Kalen Ellis is forced to play. Josh Iloa comes in for Aaron Service.
Yeah. You wouldn't Josh Iloa, that was a bit of a problem there at the center position.
Yeah.
If you watch, he spent a good amount of times on his heels and going backwards.
Sure. Okay. But, like, they're still managing when they're down a couple offensive linemen here, which I think is good to see. And they just seem to have a better mental makeup in terms of how aggressive they are at the offensive line. I think some credit has to go to him for sure. And there was definitely a need there for a coaching change.
I think he's definitely done a lot with Bergeron.
I agree. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, I don't know what's happened here with our special teams, but that really needs to clean up. If we want to win close games, it comes down to the little things, right? And special teams is really costing us right now.
Hidden yards is so important. And that's why Trevor Pena, to me, returning the football, it's frustrating because sometimes you get a play from him that's a 10. And then other times you get plays from him that are twos. And out of a special teams guy, I'd much rather have a guy who's a 6 or 7 every single play. Right? Because listen, the big boom plays, they're nice. But also the boneheaded mental lapse plays, too, that come with it, those hurt you. And those are where games are won and lost. Special teams is such a big part of that. You look at the missed kicks as well, the bad punts. It's really something that's starting to bite this team. And I'm not saying it contributed directly to this loss, but it's one of those things that over the course of time, it'll come back and haunt you a couple times.
Right. And I think a good test of, all right, how well are you coaching over the course of the season is how quickly or how often do you fix your common mistakes? And I think at the start of the year, penalties was a huge, huge point of emphasis for Syracuse. They've addressed that a little bit. It seems like they went hard on that in practice. They really try to key in on fixing that. Maybe Marlo Wax doesn't push out Jordan Travis on that play because of it or whatnot, but they seem to have gotten a little bit better at that. The other areas that are really bothering me right now as someone who just watches these games is the inability to get plays off in time, the delays of games, which are really racking up, and the miscommunication on just, all right, is Schrader not getting the plays quick enough? Is he not understanding it? You have to figure whatever the problem is out there. And then the special teams, they've got to be better at punting, at keeping field position battles to not super lopsided. And whatever's happening in the kicking game, because maybe there have been a couple of times that Andre Schmitz had a bad hold or a bad snap. I think I noticed one of them on an extra point this year. Outside of that, it might fall mostly on Schmidt, but they've got to figure out the special teams.
It's these little things, and you're losing points here and there because of it. And I don't know, is that big scoreboard now, is that something that's bothering these punters? Like, seriously, right. This is something that has been a staple of your program now for what, 6 years? You've been a really good special teams team for 6 years, even during the bad years. The one consistency with this program was that they were stellar across the board. Special teams, kicking, punting, coverage, everything. They were really good. And this year, I mean, I'm just thinking through, it might be the worst of their three phases right now.
Right. I think it is, definitely. I mean, offense has been a little hit or miss, but they're scoring points.
They're scoring defense points, yeah.
Definitely number one. Yeah. The thing with defense, I do want to hit on this real quick before we get to like the look ahead line and talking about Clemson. Garrett Williams was a little shaky in this game, I would say, watching back the film. And it's just sometimes they're allowing too many big plays back there, I feel like. And some of that was Jason Simmons. I feel like you can get us deep at this stage, and there hasn't really been a quarterback outside of Sam Hartman that has been coming into a game with that mindset. I think Clemson maybe will have that mindset a
little
bit.
Malik Willis started to do it in the second half against Liberty game, too.
That's a good point. And maybe teams are starting to pick up on that, but Deuce has gotten burned a couple. I mean, they're making great plays. Like, Deuce and Garrett Williams are good football players, but at the same time, they're vulnerable back there to like a double move or a deep shot. And that is,
you know, concerning. Who else had a rough game too? Jason Simmons. And that's been one of the guys that we've been targeting as needs to be an X factor for this team. He was pretty good in run defense, but it's when he gets into coverage that he gets burned. I think, so I'm looking at the stats right now. He got burned on the one long touchdown. And then he also allowed 5 receptions for 117 yards. He did have the pick, but that was more of a right place, right time sort of play there. It gets tipped up to him. He's just there to make the play on it. But third downs, also something that really hurt this team. They started out really, really strong in that first half in the third down department. They started off 4 for 5, and then they finished the game 3 of 10 after that. That needs to tighten itself up because, I mean, if you're converting third downs and you're getting yourself into some of these situations where you're moving the ball, because what did we say? You're going to move the ball against Wake Forest. They did that against the Demon Deacons. Like, it's no surprise to me that they put up points against Wake Forest and they got all these first downs against the Demon Deacons because that's just kind of what their defense was. And I mean, time of possession was another thing. Those first couple of scoring drives in the first half. All right. So they had the 5.5 minute one on the touchdown drive and then a 4.5 minute one on the next drive. 7 of the final 9 drives that they had were all 2:36 or shorter. And that's when you started to see the defense get run into the ground. Right after that, you saw Wake Forest, they went touchdown, field goal, touchdown on their next 3 drives after those longer drives. And the defense was starting to get a little more tired, a little more tired. And the Demon Deacons were just running on them too. I mean, it was a track meet out there. They were running tempo, getting to the line. It looked like Syracuse from a couple years ago.
And that's something we hit on when we were previewing it, that in order for the defense to stay fit, basically, and not allow a lot of points late in the game, the offense has to keep that time of possession battle somewhat in a balance or somewhat make it so that it's not crazy advantage to Wake Forest. They did that in the first half. I think it faded a little bit in the second half in that regard. But here's the good news. We're listing all these shortcomings, miscues, things that they can fix. This wasn't a perfect game from Syracuse. They left a lot out there. And they almost beat a ranked team, which it was at home, but that's probably the best team in the ACC right there. It's the only undefeated team in the ACC. They should have won that game. And yeah, they definitely could have won that game. So as much as we talked about last week, looking ahead at the schedule and not a lot of wins out there, I feel much more confident now after seeing what they did against Wake Forest and knowing that some of the stuff is curable. Like, special teams should, if anything, just get better.
The only problem, the only thing that's frustrating now is that all of these things that are quote unquote fixable for this team, it's them standing in their own way. And they've done it week after week after week, yeah. It feels like, to the point where, okay, is it going to get better? Because now it's starting to become a trend. When you're going away from your proper play calling, when the special teams continues to be an issue, when you've got a quarterback right. who still can't pass from the pocket, when you got a defense that has clearly started to wear itself down in the second halves. Like, this stuff is really becoming problematic now, to the point where I don't know if it's going to get better. Like, you yeah. might just be bad in certain areas now.
All right, so about to give you guys the betonline.ag look-ahead line here that we try to do on some of these Tuesday episodes. Speaking of betonline.ag, they are back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron now as teams are back. It's another football season, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. New updated site, new interface, even more odds, props, and contests. Even have your favorite Vegas casino games out there as well. Just head to their website on a mobile device. Sign up today. It's totally free. And when you sign up, put in our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. It gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Some serious savings when you use the promo code LOCKEDON over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports.
Hey guys, so there's a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about, and one of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it can be embarrassing. But there is a perfect way to go about this and attack this. It is with SweatBlock Antiperspirant. It's not a life or death situation, but in the moment, it feels like the world's coming crashing down on you, whether it's an important speech, interview, first date, whatever it is, you'd rather not worry about it. And that's why you got to use SweatBlock Antiperspirant. It's stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, and then the next morning you wake up, wash, and you're good to go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know it sounds too good to be true, but you literally only have to put it on once or twice a week, and then you're good to go for the entire week. No more pitting out, no more picking shirts based on which ones are going to hide the sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, sweatblock.com, promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off, or check them out at Amazon and CVS.
All right, so the line for Syracuse Clemson Friday night game inside the dome and 13
sound familiar?
And a half.
Sound familiar?
Yes. At Friday the 13th would make it really familiar, but it's October 15th, just past.
That was one of the like first moments of our friendship. Now that
it
I think
was.
About it.
Yeah.
It was because people, I remember that week, it was the 13th.
Castle Court, yep.
Your birthday's on the 14th. So It was like that midnight at Castle Court turned to your birthday. I think you turned, is that when you turned 21 too? Or did
it
you
was,
turn 20
yeah,
then?
Yeah.
It was when you turned 21?
No, 20. That was 20.
You turned 20.
Sorry.
Okay.
You're right.
But yeah, that was like one of the first moments I remember hanging out with you.
Yeah. And everyone threw a party at Castle Court for my birthday.
Yeah.
We joked about it instead of.
I mean, once the clock struck midnight, I mean, the day of the football game was over and it was officially Tim's birthday.
Right. Exactly. That's why they were all down there. But no, I'm a little bummed that it's not ever falling on my birthday, this big Clemson game, but I'll let it pass. If they win again, that would be awesome. It would be just a late birthday present this time. Anyway, the line opened at 13.5. It went to 14.5. Now it's settled at 14 as we're talking here Monday night. I would guess it stays at 14. The other thing of note here is the over-under is shockingly low, in my opinion. I know I know Clemson has not been great on offense, but the over-under is 44.5 for this game. Syracuse just played a game that scored 77 points. The week before that, it was 73. Their unders have been hitting, but I do think ACC games, overs, I don't have the stats in front of me. I feel like there's been a lot of overs in these ACC games.
I mean, you look at some of the games that UNC, Pitt, Virginia, Louisville have played in. Like Wake Forest, obviously. Yeah, I mean, there are points that are being put up in these ACC games. That 44.5 number, it almost feels too good to be true. And I think a lot of that comes down to people's perception about how Syracuse responds to some of these big plays. and defensively how they respond to big plays. And we're starting to see that dwindle more and more as the season's gone on, and especially in those second halves. We've seen it with Liberty. We've seen it with Wake Forest. It's one of those things where I don't think it's as sure of a thing as it used to be.
Right. And, you know, it's funny you bring up big plays. I was thinking about that when I was watching back the game, how typically Syracuse's offense in the past couple of years with DeVito has been, they really can't do anything, can't move the ball, but they can hit a big play every once in a while.
It's like, and we talked about it last year. It was big player bust. It's unsustainable.
Yeah. Right. This year, it's kind of the opposite, right? I mean, they're hitting big plays, but when they do it, it's Sean Tucker. So it's not like a deep pass. I mean, Schrader can't hit like Sherrod Johnson deep. We're not seeing any of that. Or Anthony Keeley, as the color commentator kept saying.
Connor Lutz.
So I don't know. It's kind of the reverse. And I guess that worries me a little bit. Clemson, I'll do some more research on them this week. But just what I've watched them this year is their offense has struggled. But you'd have to think they can hit big plays more than Syracuse. I'm shocked by the over-under being 44.5. I think the line at 14 feels right. I like Syracuse at that number right now. I thought it would open at 13.5. I think I was pretty much on there. I was a little surprised that it bumped up, but 14 feels right for the line. I'm shocked by the over-under.
Yeah, and I almost feel like Clemson's in that territory too right now, where now they are coming off a bye as well. That's worth noting.
Yeah, that's tough.
They're in that territory, kind of like how we talked about Florida State. Like, what team should Clemson be giving 14 to in the Power Five right now? Right? Like, it's at that point with this team. So that's one of the things I'm looking at. And then I'm with you. That total sniffs way too low for me. And I don't get it. I think Syracuse is going to be able to run the ball. They've lost both of their tackles for this season, which is a very, very critical part of what they've been doing to stop the run in years past. And I think that's going to be something that Sean Tucker can exploit and Garrett Schrader can exploit. And again, you're going to have to lean on your horses in this game with your two running. And you're going to have to put the usage up, because even though Clemson's down this year, this is still a signature win if you can go out and get it.
The other thing is, I don't have it in front of me, but I would guess Syracuse has covered against Clemson. Maybe, I mean, definitely when you went to the game and they almost won down in Clemson the year before that, the Friday night game we're talking about, they obviously covered because they won. I don't think they covered the year after the game that they almost won in Clemson, because that was a blowout in like week three or whatever, that big primetime game.
And then last year they covered.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm getting at is they usually play Clemson pretty tough. We all know this. Could you make the argument that maybe Dino Babers or maybe even Tony White last year has kind of figured out what Clemson is doing a little bit, and they seem to have a better grasp of it? You could. So I don't know. I don't hate Syracuse at covering right now at plus 14. I think the game's going to be close at some point. I think they will have a shot when we start the second half. Could Clemson pull away late? Maybe. But will they pull away to the point where they're covering two touchdowns? I don't think so right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd probably lean Syracuse right now. I would probably way look ahead here. Probably like they're probably like 10 points worse than Clemson, I would say. Right? Does that sound about right? Like 10 points worse than Clemson right now is where I would put them. So, no, it's, I mean, I'm just still baffled by the 44.5. By the way, I did see that they are doing it's like a Floyd Little celebration on Friday, which is cool. And I saw they had like a little shop too on their on the Syracuse Athletics website for all this different Floyd Little merch. And there was some cool stuff there. So you might want to check that out too.
Yeah, no, that is cool. But maybe that's why it's 44.5. They're just honoring Floyd Little.
Paying homage,
I can't explain it. But anyway, that is the look ahead line. You can go bet on the game over at betonline.ag. We thank you guys for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen of the day every single morning. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and we are now on YouTube as well. Also, check us out on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. Tomorrow on the show, probably going to sneak in some basketball because J.J. Starling is making his decision tonight. If you are listening on Tuesday right around 5 p.m., he should make his decision. We'll react to that, talk about the 2022 class a little bit. We also missed some basketball news from last week that we might catch up on.
Jesse Edwards. Basketball. I thought that was fascinating. We have to talk about the center position. We have to talk about Chris Bunch. All this stuff happening in the basketball universe, because we're less than a month away now.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll sneak in some PFF numbers or some.
I've got some Garrett Schrader play action stuff I want to talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it's staggering. It's actually staggering And it just goes to show what we've been telling everyone for the last 3 weeks with this guy. And they don't use it. They don't use it, Tim.
All right, we'll talk about that tomorrow, but that's going to do it for the Tuesday podcast. Thanks for listening, as always, and we'll catch you guys tomorrow.